Broadcasting from the Co-Certified Studios in beautiful downtown Burbank, this is National Bugle Radio. Hey gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Go there, click on the donate button, and show your Christmas spirit. And we have with us again today, Mark Dankoff. Mark, thanks for coming back on short notice.
Well, great. And how am I coming in?
You're coming in just fine. You know, I was thinking I might just read Dr. Seuss's Thidwig, the Big-Hearted Moose today, but I think I'll save that for another show.
Well, that sounds exciting. And certainly I went through a few news stories anyway this morning that were of interest to me, and I think they'll be of interest to our people at National Bugle Radio and the Republic Broadcasting Network. I posted some of these articles on the National Bugle site, so people can go to nationalbugle.com at any point and see precisely at least some of what we're going to be talking about.
It's right. So go to nationalbugle.com, and Mark has been updating that. I've been updating it. There's a lot of good stories there. You know, sometimes we're flooded with bad news, but the past couple of days there's been some pretty good news. And in this last 24-hour period, we've got the resignation of General Mad Dog Mattis. Apparently, he's going to be sent upstate to a farm.
Yeah, and, you know, basically, this is a continuation of what we talked about yesterday on the show, where hopefully Mr. Trump's moves in Syria, the latest moves, which have been the correct moves all along, will continue. Pat Buchanan, by the way, has an article today at antiwar.com and a number of other places that we posted this morning on National Bugle. It's entitled, Will Trump Hold Firm on Syrian Pullout? Hopefully he does hold firm, and Buchanan explains some of the reasons why he needs to hold firm, reasons that we would firmly go along with here at National Bugle Radio and presumably also at the Republic Broadcasting Network. And in so holding firm, Mattis can definitely fly a kite as far as I'm concerned. And hopefully this will lead Trump to get rid of Bolton and Pompeo at some point in the process and do basically what we've talked about before on this show, which is to sit down, have a very private meeting with some select people that you and I have mentioned in terms of specific names, mm-hmm. to talk about how he should completely revamp his foreign policy team and his military advisors to basically pull a team together that's in line with what he campaigned on in 2016. And certainly Mattis is not a part of that. Tillerson was not a real part of that either. And Nikki Haley obviously was somebody who needed to go. Thankfully, she left on her own. But now that Mattis is pulling out, I hope it's just a matter of time until Bolton and Pompeo decide that their particular plans for a wider war in the Middle East and possibly with Russia mm-hmm. are not going to be approved by the administration, that we need to get rid of these neocons and, again, put some America First people in there with some common sense.
Right. You know, I watched the PBS NewsHour last night, and I watched that because I want to know what they're saying. And they had on one Michael Gordon. And for our listeners, Michael Gordon used to work for the New York Times. He's well known for being, according to his Wikipedia page, the first to report on Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, his nuclear program. And then, of course, he and Judith Miller, both as embedded reporters, before they were embedded reporters in 2002, collaborated on these articles quoting anonymous U.S. officials and intelligence experts in building up this whole fraud of weapons of mass destruction and nuclear program, Saddam Hussein nuclear program. And so, of course, that all gives, we know how many of these nuclear weapons were found, and that gives Michael Gordon all the credibility he needs to come on the PBS NewsHour. But what he was talking about was interesting because he was talking about not just Syria, but also, you know, the prospect of President Trump pulling out of Afghanistan. He said that, President Trump had to be, he wanted to pull out of Afghanistan this summer. He had to be talked into it. Oh, actually, not this summer, the summer before last. He had to be talked into it, into staying in Afghanistan by Mattis and McMaster. And, of course, Michael Gordon was lamenting that, well, McMaster's gone and Mattis is gone. And so who's going to be talking reason to President Trump about why we need to keep, stay in Afghanistan?
Well, hopefully none of these people will be around in a Trump administration to talk about Michael Gordon's brand of reason. And this gets into a wider issue that we've talked about before repeatedly on this show. We've talked about it on David Duke's show on Rents. We've spoken about it in a number of other places and international forums as well, that it's unbelievable that in American mainstream media, these people continue to be recirculated as experts when they've been proven wrong every single time. And when they have led this country, especially in the last 17 years, down a garden path to disaster, both in these incessant wars of occupation and counterinsurgency, this ongoing illegitimate and illegal use of NATO and all of these different places, and last but not least, their attempts, successful, unfortunately, at this point, to sabotage the deal with Iran and to try and whip up fervor for a continuation of our policy in Syria, which was basically nothing more than an Israeli-Saudi-driven policy all along to get rid of Bashar al-Assad and to set the stage up for an American-Israeli attack on Iran. That's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And clearly, if the American public had any historical memory whatsoever, they would not only trace back the full lunacy of these policies, at least to 2001, perhaps more accurately to 1996, and the so-called clean break strategy document of the Project for the New American Century, but they would remember some of these names: Michael Gordon, Judith Miller, Paul Wolfowitz, and all of these different folks, Lieberman.
Yeah, Michael O'Hanlon, who's a goy, but he's one of their favorite goys. Yeah, these people who always had it wrong.
Exactly, and the notion that any of these people should be on PBS or CNN or even to some extent on Fox talking about these tired policies and advocating more death, more destruction, more borrowed and spent money, expansions of these conflicts to continue now to a point where we would go to war with a legitimate conventional military power, Iran, which none of these other countries up to this point are, but that it would be taken seriously that we should add Vladimir Putin's Russia to this plate, that we should in fact be engaged in some of these latest activities, which clearly are designed, working with the Ukrainians, to provoke some kind of a conflict between Putin's Russia and NATO when it comes to the Kerch Strait and the Sea of Azov. This is all a part of the same bigger picture that we talked about yesterday, a bigger picture that Mr. Trump needs to understand, of which Syria is only one piece of the puzzle. Now, one of the things that I think is somewhat encouraging today is that antiwar.com is reporting that the Trump administration has decided on a significant drawdown in Afghanistan. And in conjunction with that drawdown in Afghanistan, the Trump administration is now indicating that when American troops are fully out of Syria, that's going to be the end of our so-called air war there. Mm-hmm. So all of these signs just in the last couple of days are very, very encouraging. The president needs to take the bull by the horns, as we were talking about yesterday, explain the bigger picture to the American public, explain the history of this lunacy just since 2001, explain who some of these people are in the news media who are suggesting that he's taken leave of his senses for doing the only thing that common sense dictates be done, yeah, which is to get out of these circumstances and to keep the United States out.
Yeah, I had CNN on briefly before switching over to PBS, and they have an analyst named Ana Navarro, who speaks with a Mexican accent, and she took time out from her main occupation, which is to be outraged over Trump not allowing in an infinite number of Hispanics and people from outside the country. She took time out from being outraged over that to be outraged over him withdrawing from Syria and giving a victory to Vladimir Putin. You mentioned that in previous shows, we have suggested that President Trump start talking to, you know, fine, call him up on an informal basis, a lot of people that could give him the advice that he's not going to get from the foreign policy establishment, advice, expert advice he needs, sage advice. Of course, Stephen F. Cohen, Pat Buchanan, even, you know, Ron Paul. I've been disappointed with Ralph Nader in not supporting the things that Trump could represent. But, you know, Ralph Nader's always been solid on foreign policy. Call up some of these elder statesmen. You've got more names that you can mention. But of course, you know, these people are mostly in their 80s that we're mentioning. He's going to have a vacancy at the top of the Pentagon, and these people might be too old for that job. But here's a suggestion. This is a name that we've talked about in the past, and I think it would be a very, very cunning choice. Tulsi Gabbard, the Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii.
I was jotting her name down just as you were mentioning.
Yes, seriously. Indeed. Because she's been the one person, certainly in the House of Representatives, you might be able to add Rand Paul to the list, but a very short list. The one person who has supported and been vocal about a withdrawal from Syria in particular, but also Afghanistan. And so maybe Trump should one last time take General Mattis's advice and seek a person who is more in line with his own thinking, with Trump's own thinking on foreign policy, as his successor. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what he needs to do. And just in terms of jotting down my own names, which are cross-referencing with your names on my pad here, Pat Buchanan, Doug Bandow, who has the lead story today with the national interest that it was reposted in antiwar.com. We put that one up for people to take a look at it, nationalbugle.com. And that one is entitled Why Trump is Right to Withdraw Troops. So Doug Bandow, who's been around a long time, would be somebody I would certainly would like to include in such a conversation with the president. Stephen F. Cohen, you've mentioned, Lou Rockwell. Both Ron and Rand Paul, Ted Galen Carpenter of the Cato Institute comes up, Dr. Philip Giraldi, of course, of the Council for the National Interest, with all of his CIA national security background. Ray McGovern is a name from the past.
Good,
I think
good.
Should be a part of these conversations.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard, clearly you've mentioned her on the air. And this Democrat from California, I'm not sure I have this gentleman's name down correctly. It's Ted, is it L-I-E-U, this Democrat from California, who at least has supported the president in terms of what he's doing on Syria. I'd like to know a little bit more about this guy, because I think certainly along with Gabbard, it would be important to have other Democrats in on this conversation who really and truly are in favor of getting out of this morass in the Middle East. These are not Hillary Clinton Democrats. These are not the neo-interventionists and the neoliberals who are the flip side of the false dialectic with these neocons on the Republican right, but people who are generally committed to getting out of worthless military conflicts that are bankrupting the country, that are drawing down on our own political credibility, where we're getting plenty of people wounded and killed in these actions. And again, getting back to what David Duke was talking about on Rents one day, we have something like a million casualties, American casualties in these wars alone, based upon deaths, physically wounded, all of these post-traumatic stress disorder people. And for what? For policies that are being advocated by Michael Gordon of the New York Times and PBS and Judith Miller and all the rest of these folks who have been proven not only wrong since 2001 and before, but the notion that after all of this fraudulent intelligence was fully exposed in these last 17 years or so, that PBS and CNN would continue to offer these people as experts on the Middle East or anything else, is just absolutely mind-boggling. Mr. Trump needs to point this out at the same time that, as we've discussed before on this show, he starts getting rid of these terrible choices he's made for his foreign policy team. Hopefully Bolton and Pompeo will be out in the next 24 hours, and we can get back to seeing the possibility that Mr. Trump will actually put some people in there that know what they're doing, who have the requisite background and expertise to apply to these jobs, who can advise him on policies that are truly America first policies. Get out of these worthless conflicts. Stop being a surrogate for Israeli military and foreign policy in the Middle East. Stop this insane alliance with these murderers in Riyadh. And let's have a policy with Vladimir Putin that gets back to the old Republican way of thinking, which is peace through strength and peace through negotiation, and an understanding that they need to stay out of our backyard, and we in turn are going to stay out of theirs, which makes Finian Cunningham's article today at RT most important reading for people, because this article, which is posted at nationalbugle.com already, people can look at it, warns us that Trump's peace signal in Syria could, in fact, end up seeing a U.S. Clash with Russia in Ukraine. What is it that we are doing in Ukraine? This article talks about it with specific numbers. This is the next thing that Trump needs to pull the plug on, are these ridiculous things that have developed since the illegitimate support of this coup d'etat in 2014 that produced this guy Poroshenko, who is clearly trying to provoke a conflict with Russia in the Donbass, and a conflict with Russia in the Sea of Azov, and a conflict with Russia in this Kerch Strait tug of war that will pull in NATO and the United States. That is an absolutely preposterous thing that we continue to support this guy. And the Cunningham provides the statistics that are just unbelievable when you look at them. The United States has provided this clown, Poroshenko, with $1 billion in military assistance since the coup d'etat of 2014. And now the Trump administration is going along with putting another $250 million in the military-related equipment into that country for activities that can only be described as both provocative, dangerous, and illegal. This is an illegitimate regime that came to power and by overthrowing a legitimately elected government. This was the direct result of the United States pouring in $5 billion over time into trying to overthrow the legitimate regime in Kiev and to bring
$5 billion. This is something that Victoria Nuland, that's a figure that she reported to the congressional committee, right?
She reported that, and it was also made reference in a phone conversation that was wiretapped. Pat Buchanan was one of the people who pointed this out. She was in a conversation as the Undersecretary of State for European Affairs for the United States. She was having a conversation with the then American ambassador to the Ukraine, talking about these money figures and illegitimate covert funds that were being provided and had been provided for this coup d'etat. But then was also talking about specific names that the United States and the EU were going to install in Kiev.
And that specific name that she wanted for prime minister became the prime minister, Yatsenyuk.
Yeah, that's right.
We will be back right after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And Mark, I'm going to add one more name to that list of sages that President Trump should be calling and getting advice from. Professor Bruce Cummings at the University of Chicago. He's a North Korea expert. He was not a Trump supporter, but he was somebody who came out and said, wow, for whatever reason, Trump did a great job reaching out to Kim Jong-un and these people in the foreign policy establishment who are flipping their lids over it are all completely wrong. So I'll add that name in there. And then just getting back to Tulsi Gabbard briefly, you know, I don't think the Secretary of Defense position should necessarily be reserved for people who were in the military, especially at a time when what you're trying to do is disengage from overseas military confrontations. You know, maybe it's better to have somebody who was free from the kind of indoctrination that goes on within the military. But be that as it may, Tulsi Gabbard, she is a major in the Air National Guard. She's only 37. Like I say, I think because she's a woman, I think it would be, and a Democrat, I think it would be really hard for the media. I mean, if the media and the Congress tried to block her nomination, I just think it would really, really expose them as being every kind of hypocrite. So I just thought I'd kick that out there again. I don't know what Trump's going to do about this. And unfortunately, Mattis is apparently going to hang around until the end of February. I think he should be sent upstate immediately.
That's my perception on that as well, particularly when you read the content of the letter that he wrote. It seems to me that if he's sincere in his belief that the president's position on Syria is not his own and the president's position on this America First stuff is not the position of General Mattis, then fine. I think they should part company immediately, which, of course, begs the question as to why this guy was ever selected to begin with. And then that gets into all of these other nominees that we've talked about, including Pompeo and Bolton and Nikki Haley. So, you know, the magnitude of this problem is something that is almost beyond the imagination, because we're not simply talking about high-profile cabinet members. When you consider the extent to which the mentality represented by all of these people has a disproportionate representation, presumably in the higher levels of the American military, in the national security business generally, and the American State Department. It's not simply a question of getting some decent people into these cabinet positions, but in turn, those folks are going to have to figure out how they can disenfranchise some of the really bad people in their respective departments underneath them that have proliferated for a very, very long period of time. Mm-hmm. And we'll use their places in the bureaucracy, obviously, to subvert anything that the administration might attempt to do that gets back on track in regard to what Trump said in 2016.
Right. Now, you sent me an article about an hour ago, and an interesting one. Apparently, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was operated on for lung cancer over this week. It's just been released. And I would just like to say that I think Mrs. Ginsburg really should concentrate on her health. I would encourage her to resign and devote herself full time to her health. And I wish her a very long and happy retirement.
Yeah, that's basically my own position on this. And I go back to when she was first nominated for her position on the Supreme Court. I remember, I wish I had a copy of this letter. I don't. I wrote Senator Alan Simpson of Wyoming on the subject of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And of course, Alan Simpson, I have some regard for. I'm negative on him on some things. But basically, I said to Senator Simpson, I was just wondering why you chose to vote for a Supreme Court nominee who at one time was the American Civil Liberties Union's specific advocate or liaison to the LGBTQ community.
Whatever it was called back then.
Whatever it was called then, right? Just the gay community in regard to the direction that American society and American jurisprudence ought to be moving in. The senator wrote me back a thoughtful letter. I don't have that in front of me either. He attempted to justify that vote, although he expressed some concerns about several other people on the court that he thankfully didn't vote for. But the long and the short of it is that Ginsburg, now let's be frank about this, when you look at the number of Jews who are in the United States Supreme Court compared to the percentage of Jews in the general population, it gets into the very thing that we talked about in terms of this book review that was in E. Michael Jones' Culture Wars this month on the whole subject of gay marriage and the whole subject of the social revolution that has taken place in the United States in the last 50 years. I'll remind people again that that was a review in Culture Wars and that the gentleman who wrote the review is Theo Howard. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say one thing in passing about that article when we come back from the break, and then we can move on.
Okay, well, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. It is National Bugle Radio with Mark Dankoff. So, Mark, you were finishing up on talking about this review of E. Michael Jones's book.
Well, it's not Jones's book. A guy by the name of Daryl Paul wrote this book for Baylor University Press. It's entitled From Tolerance to Equality, How Elites Brought America to Same-Sex Marriage, in E. Michael Jones' Culture Wars, the current edition, December 2018, Theo Howard reviews this book. Now, this is important in terms of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it seems to me, when one gets back to what I was talking about in my letter some years ago to our esteemed Republican senator from Wyoming, who basically voted for Ginsburg. And again, when one keeps in mind the demographics of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then, of course, one recognizes her pivotal role in the early days of the gay rights movement and her role as a Jewish activist in the gay rights movement with the American Civil Liberties Union, this gets into something that people need to understand who listen to this show and who listen to RBN and Rents and all of these other very fine networks. Theo Howard points out something here that I want to read over the air, because the Ruth Bader Ginsburg Supreme Court appointment and the ideology and the demographics that she represents are a dagger aimed at all of our throats. I want to read this over the air very briefly, and then we can move on to another topic if you so desire. Theo Howard says here on page 46 of Culture Wars, here in the current issue of December, corporate America and homosexual activists have formed a symbiotic alliance. The extent of this alliance has been crystallized in recent state RFRA battles. the synergy between sodomy and usury is effervescent, and no other social issue in our time of capitalism and socialism been exposed as so clearly operative on different sides of the same wicked dialectic. Paul's conclusion is astute. He writes, quote, "The sexual revolution is not the least bit metaphorical. It is as much a revolution as were the American or French revolutions in their own times," unquote. Theo Howard then goes on to show how Paul quotes the liberal legal scholar Douglas Laycock, who draws a strong parallel between the French Catholic royalists of the 19th century and American religious and cultural conservatives of the 21st, quote, "If you stand in the way of revolution and lose, there will be consequences," unquote. Now, we all know what those consequences are or shall be, as corporate America and their symbiotic relationship with the Jewish lobby and the Jewish power structure and the Jewish banking system in this country are working both in terms of increasing political and economic power for 1% of the population of the United States, at the same time that this culturally Marxist agenda is a part of the program as well. So you have a merger of multinational corporate capitalism with cultural Marxism. And at the end of the day, and Theo Howard points this out, one of the reasons for this alliance is because there is correlation and causation between gay marriage and low-wage corporatocracy. And he indicates there needs to be more study on this. But this is a fascinating piece because Ginsburg, it seems to me, represents this ideology, these demographics in spades, at the same time that the U.S. Supreme Court has done nothing about the ongoing advance of the American national security police state at home and has done nothing about attempting to curb the right of chief executives of the United States to be committing American military forces into foreign countries without the authorization of Congress or even the cover of a UN Security Council resolution. So all of this comes together with Ginsburg, and quite obviously so. So in the event that she isn't serving in the Supreme Court too much longer, and one has to believe that that's the case based on her health situation, Mr. Trump will need to choose a replacement for her very carefully. And obviously, if we thought we had trouble in the Kavanaugh situation, this promise of a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg being named by Donald Trump is going to be really quite something to watch. And I just want to mention one thing as a warning to all you Republicans out there who think that it's going to be great when we get a Republican nominee to the Supreme Court to replace Ginsburg. Culture Wars reminds us as well in this same edition I just read from on page 48 that Donald Trump has just nominated Patrick J. Bumatai, a homosexual, to fill a vacancy on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So just because we may get another opportunity for a Republican nominee to the Supreme Court is no guarantee as to what we're going to get, and it's certainly no guarantee that the person will be confirmed given the composition of the next Senate.
Patrick Bumatai. What kind of name is that, I wonder?
I don't know. B-U-M, as in bum.
I am guessing maybe some sort of Filipino or Indian.
Yes.
We'll find out within a matter of seconds with the wonder of Google and Wikipedia. Well, actually, it's not saying, but he is LGBT, that's for sure.
And Trump has just named him to fill a vacancy in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That is not the sort of thing that I'm rather overjoyed to read, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been saying for a long time that I believe you have a, you could call it a Zionist agenda, a Jewish agenda, and it's been divided. Parts of it, the domestic policy part of it, has been entrusted to the Democrats. And so we're talking about all the cultural Marxism, you know, the LGBT business and all of that. And then the foreign policy has been largely delegated to Republicans, so the promotion of war. Although, you know, in the past few years, and that would also include the the national security state, infringement on civil liberties. But in the past few years, the Democrats are seeming to want to just take over the whole thing, and they push for wars, and they push for surveillance, and push for everything else. So that's how I've seen it happening. I want to move on now to the wall. We have, I think, just in the past few minutes, an article coming up on the AP, the Associated Press, and President Trump is calling on Mitch McConnell to invoke the nuclear option in getting this spending bill passed that includes $5.7 billion for the wall. So it's already passed the House of Representatives. Mitch McConnell has the option of suspending the rule, what has been customary for the past. Well, there's a rule to cut off debate. It's closure, and closure in the Senate takes 60 votes, and it is really a relic of when we had actual filibusters, like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, somebody like in real life, I think Strom Thurmond had the record of standing for 20 hours and peeing all over the carpet while which is exactly what he was doing. Yeah. While he was speaking and reading from, I don't know if he was the one that read from phone books. I think Mike Gravel from Alaska read from phone books while he was filibustering against the draft. But it would take 60 votes to cut off debate. Well, they stopped doing actual debates, and so it's become, well, it's 60 votes to before you can have an up and down vote on something. So it's kind of a relic, and it's already been dispensed with for judicial nominees. President Trump is saying dispense with it now. And the logic against dispensing with it is, well, you know, sooner or later, then the Democrats are going to be in control, and we won't be able to resist them. But I don't know what has a Republican minority ever resisted a Democratic majority on in terms of the Democratic part of the Jewish agenda, this cultural Marxism.
Well, that's exactly right, and particularly the internationalist wing of the Republican Party has a particularly miserable record in that regard. That's one of the things that I so enjoyed driving down the highway a couple of days ago and listening to Paul Ryan telling the House of Representatives goodbye. Part of this was being broadcast on San Antonio radio, and as was observed by a cynic here in San Antonio at the time, there wasn't a wet eye in the House. So you had this situation where if we're relying on Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and these types to get anything accomplished in this regard, we can forget it. But I would simply say this to Mr. Trump, whom I'm confident is not listening to this show. We talked about that again yesterday. But
Melania, if you're listening, call me.
That's right. If Mrs. Trump is listening, hopefully she'll get to the president and call Patrick back in the next 24 hours. But in addition to what we've recommended to the president on foreign policy and going on the offensive, what we've recommended to him in regard to the kitchen cabinet that he needs in foreign policy, we also need for the president to take the offensive and to take his case directly to the American people as to why this illegal immigration needs to stop. Now, the reason I mention this in particular and why it's in the front of my mind right now, I was on Press Television Iran last night for 5 minutes and 4 seconds exactly. That is posted at nationalbugle.com, by the way. And that has subsequently been a telecast that's been bounced around to all these international media outlets. And I basically made a few points that Press Television allowed me to make on this particular subject. And I sensed that the guy who was interviewing me at Press Television could actually for the first time see that there is a positive case to be made by an American conservative as to how and why it is that some of this stuff needs to be curtailed. Now, this is important because I tend to be on these international shows when we're talking about foreign policy. I don't tend to get too many calls when it comes down to illegal immigration or gun ownership. But nonetheless, Press TV was very kind to bring me on last night, and I basically just cited a few statistics. I said, hey, you know, all these people, these human rights groups and immigration groups arguing that the United States does not have a right to control who comes in here, does not have a right to control its own border. That's clearly nonsense. The vast percentage of countries in the world obviously do the same thing that we need to do here. And we already have 30 million illegals here. This is already costing the American public $110 billion a year. $16.1 billion of that is because of crimes committed by illegal immigrants. And 75% of the federal drug violations in this country involve illegals. And I said, you start looking at MS-13 and all of these other individuals and groups that are getting into the United States, and look at the economic costs. You start looking at the numbers on illegals. You start looking at the statistics on costs, not only the total costs, but the costs state by state. This is a staggering problem. And obviously the Democratic Party is not going to do anything about this, because it is believed that 800,000 illegals voted illegally for Hillary Clinton in the last presidential election. Mm. So the question is, how do we deal with this humanely and compassionately, but at the same time get our own house in order? And I had the good sense to begin my five-minute conversation by pointing out that I was married to a naturalized American citizen from Colombia. Her family came to this country legitimately 50 years ago. Nobody was on welfare. Nobody had a criminal record. These were devout Roman Catholics. They learned to speak the English language. They were assimilated into American society. These are the kinds of people that, fine, the United States ought to be taking here in controllable numbers. Emphasis on controllable numbers and vetted numbers. But in terms of having 30 million people here illegally, and this, all these other problems that have accrued from this, forget it. It's out of the question. It's a question of a threat to the national sovereignty of the United States for this to be going on. Well, that's the same type of case that Mr. Trump needs to take directly to the American public. And what he will find if he does that effectively and talks directly to them without things being filtered through Wolf Blitzer at CNN and people like Michael Gordon at PBS, Trump will discover that he not only has the support of people that we would consider to be in our camp, the kinds of people who voted for Trump in 2016, the kinds of people who listened to the Republic Broadcasting Network and National Bugle Radio and so forth and so on, but that a considerable number of people who immigrated to this country legally, emphasis on legally and legitimately, will support the president on this policy when it comes to all these illegals who are here that are now robbing these legal immigrants financially, giving legal immigrants a bad name because of all of the illegitimate crime and felonious activity going on with these illegals. And that basically, I think most people understand this when it comes to standing in line at the grocery store. If you stood in line, if you took your turn, if you paid your own freight, if you rolled your own cart out to the car, put your own groceries in the car and drove away, you're not exactly going to be in favor of having people walking into the store who are not paying, who are not working, and who are cutting the line and who are stealing goods from the store.
Cutting the line in front of you.
Cutting the line in front of you. You're not going to like that.
And this is and then complaining about you.
Exactly.
And
the Trump needs to say to legitimate immigrants to this country, he needs to say to Hispanic Americans who are loyal American citizens and to Asian Americans who are loyal American citizens and so forth and so on, hey, look, you people are paying for this in terms of your health care, in terms of your kids' educational costs, in terms of all of the other things that you expected to be provided for you in this country when you came here and came here legally and worked for what you do have. Do you really want me to just turn this thing over to a bunch of people that did not do it the way you've done it? And by the way, this is what the Democratic Party stands for or has come to stand for. And if you folks think this thing through, in addition to the fact that I'm going to get your kids out of these insane wars in the Middle East that we have no business in,
yep.
I will support you folks who came here and did this legally.
And we were just coming up on the break.
Yeah, but that's what the president needs to do.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life, with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news?
You know, regarding the whole immigration thing, especially the legal immigration thing, there used to be, 40 years ago, for instance, there was kind of a stereotype of the immigrant who came here and worked hard and succeeded, and then was like, he was more nativistic than anybody you would ever meet in America. He was like, well, we can't let these people in. These new people, they're not learning the language. And it was like, he got in, wanted to shut the door behind him. It was a stereotype. But in more recent decades, what you're getting are people coming in, and it probably has a lot to do with the family reunification clause of the 1965 Immigration Act. But they're coming in and wanting to keep the door open, throw it wide open, do away with the door altogether, and just let people flood in. And of course, the people who are coming in are expecting not just to work hard to get themselves ahead, but to be offered special privileges, special, you know, their kids get a leg up in terms of getting into to colleges. They get affirmative action in hiring and everything. Senator Eugene McCarthy, who was one of the co-sponsors of the 1965 Immigration Act, he voted for it and then later wrote a book saying how he had been fooled because, you know, the family reunification clause, it didn't seem like such a big deal at the time, but it was exploited and it has effectively given foreigners control over our immigration, or immigrants have control over our immigration policy because they come here and they're able to sponsor their relatives. And the last thing I'll say is Chuck Schumer has done more on this than anyone else, because in the next immigration law, I think 1991, he inserted the diversity lottery, which meant that these people would come in from countries that had never supplied the United States with people, you know, whether it's Burma or whether it's, you know, these countries in Africa, the Congo, South Sudan. And they come from places where they have huge families and are able to bring in massive numbers of relatives who they can bring in massive numbers of relatives. I'll send it over to you, Mark, because Mr. T has words to say. Thank you for your service, Mr. T.
Yes. It's always good to have Mr. T on the show. And basically to say at the same time that when it comes to Chuck Schumer in the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, I think what you had to say, very, very important. I wish I could have covered that angle on press television last night. There wasn't enough time. But I think Chuck Schumer, if you happen to be listening, Senator, I think you need to take the sage advice of David Duke and support open borders for Israel.
And that's not going to happen. I mean, he's so like when Chuck Schumer talks about the wall, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. No, you know it would work because Chuck Schumer is against it, because everything Chuck Schumer has done throughout his career is to flood the United States with people who can be used in his struggle against traditional white Christian America. I mean, that's all Chuck Schumer's career is about, is turning white Christians into a minority in our own country. And if he's against the wall, it's because he thinks the wall would work.
Well, that's right. And there you go, Chucky Boy Schumer, right? And you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And it's a part of what E. Michael Jones has pointed out time and time again. Jewish control of policy, Jewish control of discourse.
Well, okay. We are up on the end of the show, but it's always great to have you, Mark. So how could people find that recent interview with you?
We have it up at nationalbugle.com. So people go to nationalbugle.com. I think we filed it under demographics, but it's a 5-minute and 4-second conversation where I discussed a number of good things. Unfortunately, the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, we didn't have time for.
Well, okay. Thank you for coming on, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.